Welcome to City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Welcome back inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, where the home fans will head home happy. And oh my, oh my, oh my, what a game we had here tonight. An overtime finish where Matt Sopp plays OT hero. Let's take a look at the scoring summary from this one. And it was a wild and woolly affair here at the Memorial Auditorium tonight. The Rangers opened the scoring just 29 seconds into the game. Carson Rakoff's 41st of the season from Adrian Misiljevic. And they've changed this on me. They call it Hunter Brustevich. I originally had Matt Sopp on that one. Nonetheless, they get a look at these things after the fact. I was sure it was Sopp thinking back. Nonetheless, 1-0 Rangers 29 seconds in. Then Simon Motu from Cameron Reed and Carson Rakoff at 7:24 of the first. And it was 2-0 Kitchener through 20. A very tidy period of hockey for the Rangers. Less so in the second, where the Rangers would surrender 4 goals. But not before they went up 3-0. Trent Swick, just 34 seconds into the second period, would score a shorthanded goal, and it was as fluky a goal as ever you will see. The Rangers cleared the zone while killing the penalty, and Ryerson Leenders, the Steelheads netminder, came out to the corner to play it, but it took a funny bounce off the boards, went between Leenders' legs, and slid back towards the empty net. Trent Swick, who had been coming down the ice, raced Leenders back to the goal and just reached out to push the puck into the net as Leenders dove back to try to cover it unsuccessfully. Swick's 21st of the season, unassisted at 34 seconds of the second, and the Rangers were up 3-0. Angus McDonnell would get the Steelheads on the board, his 22nd of the season, from Lucas Carmiris and Dean Locus at 4:37. Of the second, made it 3-1, but the Rangers would get that one back just 33 seconds later. Matt Sopp's 32nd from Adrian Misiljevic, and it was a 4-1 Ranger lead. That was the end of the night for Ryerson Leenders. He allowed 4 goals on 15 shots against, and it seemed to spark the Mississauga Steelheads when Jack Ivankovic came into the game. Luke Misa would score from Porter Martone and Finn Harding at 10:02 of the second period. And that made it 4-2. Just 26 seconds later, Angus McDonnell would get his second of the game from Lucas Carmiris. And it was a one-goal game, 4-3, the Rangers led. Then Chaz Sharp, Mississauga's captain, would score his 11th of the season from Adam Zidlicky, the former Ranger, and Mark Boudreau. The goal coming with 2:45 to play in the second period, and it was a square affair at 4-4. However, Hunter Brustevich would regain the lead for the Rangers. His 10th of the season came with 1:03 left in the second period. They've got it officially scored now as unassisted. I originally had an Elinus assist on it. But Brustevich, with his 10th, with 1:03 to go in the second, and the Rangers were on top again, 5-4. In the third, Angus McDonnell would not be denied on this night. He would score his hat-trick goal, 24th of the season, from Jakob Fibiger and Chaz Sharp at 6:37. And it was a 5-5 game. We would finish regulation just like that before Matt Sopp, 2:49 into overtime, would win it for the Kitchener Rangers. Sopp's 33rd from Cameron Reed, giving the Rangers the win, and what a win it was. 6-5 the final, as Kitchener goes 0-2 on the Channers power play. Mississauga goes 0-4, and the Steelheads outshoot the Rangers 42-41. Your post-game show is brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. You're listening to City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here inside the Memorial Auditorium, where the ushers begin the work of cleaning up after a pretty full house. Here on a Friday night, the Rangers win it in overtime fashion tonight, 6-5 the final. You love the finish. You might not love some parts of the game, and we will hear from head coach Jussi Ahokas in just a moment. The Rangers did surrender 4 goals in the second period alone. They led 3-0 and 4-1 at different times of the game, and Mississauga would battle back to tie it 4-4 and again 5-5 before Sopp won it in overtime on his 33rd of the season. Let's take a look at your Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard. And in Kingston, they also needed overtime, but not much. Just 43 seconds in, the Petes pick up the game winner, 3-2 Peterborough over Kingston at Leon Center tonight. Meantime, in London, the streak is over, and it ends with a thud for the London Knights, who had not lost in regulation in 23 straight games. 21-0-0-2. Just 2 shootout losses for London since December the 10th. It was on December the 10th up in the Sioux where the Knights fell 5-4 to the Greyhounds. Well, the Knights were facing the Greyhounds tonight in London, and the Hounds walloped them. 8-2 the final, Sioux over London tonight. In St. Catharines, the Niagara Ice Dogs come from behind to edge the Oshawa Generals 4-3. North Bay, led 3-0, hangs on for a 3-2 win at home to Ottawa tonight. Brantford blanks Owen Sound 3-0 at the Civic Center in Brantford. That's good news for the Rangers because it keeps Owen Sound further in the rearview mirror. The Sudbury Wolves come from behind at home to Saginaw. Wolves end up doubling the Spirit 6-3 tonight. Sudbury is in here on Sunday. Flint, in the battle for the final playoff spot in this Western Conference, gets 2 important points against the team they're chasing for that final playoff spot. The Firebirds 5-2 winners tonight in Sarnia. And in Guelph, where they still start at 7:30 on Friday nights, the Storm trail the Erie Otters 3-2 with just over 5 minutes to play at the Sleeman Center. That's a look at our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard. Check out their full list of services at leiboldelectric.com. Let's go downstairs to Paul Fixter.
Thanks, Mike. I'm downstairs with head coach Jussi Ahokas. And coach, crazy game. I guess the easiest way to ask you is, can you summarize what happened there tonight?
Really solid first period. Gave up only 2 chances against. Then we got the third goal. Like, we got a fluke goal there. But then I thought a really good fourth goal. And then we started overplaying and a little bit bar puck management errors where they got the odd man rushes and they scored really, really highly. But I liked after that how we kind of got back to our game. We had plenty of chances. PK, we killed PK. 4 PKs. We had only 2 power plays. Wonder why, though. But but otherwise, we had really good lot of chances to even win it in regular time. And liked our offense. It was a lot better today.
What does a win like that after the win the other night do for the morale of the hockey club?
Well, of course, it builds it up all the time, and you get confidence, and I think that's what we need. And now, we had adversity in this game, but we still came back, and that's huge. But also, I have to say, it's huge. We got Cam Reed back, and he played a really solid game, it's a big difference for our hockey club.
He missed 11 games, and he looked out there tonight like he hadn't missed anything. He's that dominant of a player. Just explain what he really means to this club.
Well, he's a future captain, mature, unbelievable skater, works hard. He wants to be better every day. Like, he's everything what the team wants, and he's a good example of what kind of players we want to grow. And I don't think there's not too many defensemen in this the whole world in this that age group what he is, who's better than he is.
Those are high words. Coach, congratulations on a win, and keep it rolling.
Thank you.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. UC Ahokas with his post-game thoughts following a 6-5 overtime victory for Kitchener here at home to Mississauga. Your post-game show for You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. You're listening to City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here inside the Memorial Auditorium as we await a post-game player guest to join Paul Fixter ringside. We've heard from the head coach, who is understandably happy with the return of Cameron Reed on the blue line for Kitchener and the team's start tonight. It was a very good first period for Kitchener. The offense certainly was moving a little bit better, a little bit more crisply for Kitchener. And hey, you score six in this league or any league, you're doing all right offensively. And an important 2 points for the Kitchener Rangers tonight as they win it in overtime over the Mississauga Steelheads. Kitchener led 2-0 after one, 3-0 early in the second. It was 4-1 at one point. Give the Steelheads credit for battling back again and again and again and again. They just would not quit despite the deficits they were facing tonight. And they would eventually force overtime. Angus MacDonnell with a hat trick for the Steelheads. And the Rangers would win it with 2 minutes 11 seconds to go in the overtime period on Matt Sopp's second goal of the game and 33rd of the season. While we wait for that player to come out, let's take a look at our three stars of this game. Your three stars, a presentation of the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at bbb.org. Third star of this game with those two goals, Matt Sopp of the Kitchener Rangers. The second star with a goal and an assist tonight, Carson Rakoff. He opened the scoring just 29 seconds in. And Angus MacDonnell with his hat trick tonight for the Steelheads is named the first star of this game. So your three stars go MacDonnell, Rakoff, and Sopp. Your three stars for the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at bbb.org. We're back with that player interview coming up. Stay with us. Kitchener Rangers Hockey and your post-game show for You Save Flooring on City News 570.
Once the East Avenue Blues step off the ice, it's time to break down the game. This is City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here at the Memorial Auditorium where the Rangers win it in overtime, 6-5 over the Mississauga Steelheads. Just down the road in Guelph, the Erie Otters have put one into the empty net, and they double up the Storm 4-2 as that one just goes final. Again, if you're a Rangers fan, and if you're listening to this broadcast, you most certainly are, right? Good news for the Rangers on the out-of-town scoreboard tonight with Owen Sound losing, Guelph losing, and the Otters picking up some from seventh place. But Kitchener keeps teams further in the rearview mirror, which is important. Let's go downstairs to Paul Fixter.
Thanks, Mike. I'm downstairs with Cameron Reed. And Cameron, they say when you fall off a bike, just get right back on it and keep riding. It's like you've never missed a beat being back out there tonight.
Yeah, it was pretty special today. I put a lot of hard work into getting back here as soon as possible, and you know it's been a pretty tough stretch watching the boys come close and sometimes losing, but to get this win today is pretty surreal. It was good.
How frustrating is it when you? I know you wanted to be out there playing, but you weren't able to. You know, you're such a gamer. How frustrating is that for you?
Yeah, it's obviously a little frustrating just watching the crowd because you can't really do anything. But you know that's what makes the game special is once you're in, you know, you have a chance to make a difference, and that's what I love about it.
You got two assists tonight, plus one rating. It's like you just picked up where you left off.
Yeah, I'd like to think so as well. But I give it to the team. Whatever it takes to get the W at the end of the day.
How much confidence you think the coach has in you putting a 16-year-old out in overtime that hasn't played in 11 games?
I would like to think a pretty good amount of confidence, but I'm glad they have the trust in me, and all I wanted to do is just get the win.
Well, the coach referred to you as the best 16-year-old defenseman in the world. What do you have to say about that?
Well, that's crazy. That's crazy to me. That leaves me speechless right there. I just got to keep on playing good and doing my best to get the win. That's all I can think about. But that comment leaves me humbled.
Really nice seeing you back in the lineup tonight. Congratulations on the win, but really congratulations on persevering and getting back as quickly as you did.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. Cameron Reed returns to the lineup, and the Kitchener Rangers pick up a much-needed 2 points here on home ice. 6-5 the final over Mississauga in overtime. Back for a quick wrap, and then to your phone calls as we go deep into the night, as we do after every Rangers home game, and take your calls on Rangers Talk. Stay with us. All of it brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Well, the Rangers didn't make it easy on themselves, but that hasn't been their habit lately. However, they do pick up an important 2 points with an overtime victory here on home ice tonight. 6,532 were here at the arena to take this one in, and this is the first time the Rangers have managed to win back-to-back games in what feels like forever. And it probably feels like forever because it's been a month. The last back-to-back wins for the Rangers, January 14th at home to Ottawa, January 17th in Guelph. So that has been a stretch of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and this being the 11th game. So games 10 and 11 are back-to-back wins for the first time since January the 17th. I wonder how many of the 6,532 who were here tonight want to talk about the game with us as we go into Rangers Talk and take your calls. Post-game coverage brought to you by You Save Flooring. Your calls coming up. This is City News 570. Nonetheless, the Rangers' goal song was heard many a time in this 6-5 overtime victory for Kitchener over Mississauga. Back-to-back wins for the Rangers for the first time in a month. And into Rangers Talk we go at 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. Evan, start us off on City News 570.
Farwell, what's up, guys?
We're good, buddy.
Unfortunately, I wasn't at the game tonight, but I got to watch like the third period, like the last 15 minutes. And, after that fifth goal for the Steelheads, I was starting to get worried a little bit. But after Matthew Sopp's overtime goal, it was like, what just happened? I guess I got to say, shout out to him. I guess... Yeah, the Steelheads definitely got sopped tonight.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. They got a sopping, didn't they?
Yep.
All right, Evan, appreciate the call. Good to hear from you tonight. And, Paul, that touches on something that you and I were talking about on our radio broadcast. Evan talks about being a little nervous when Mississauga tied the game in the third, and then we played a long stretch, about 14 minutes of tie hockey. The Rangers led this game by 3 goals on 2 different occasions, at 3-0 and at 4-1. And look, they got the win, which is critical. Those 2 points mean a lot at this time of the season, but they're just not making it easy on themselves.
No, and I think the coach kind of touched on that with some of the, I think he termed it in term mental decisions, mistakes that they made that cost them. And, you know, sometimes you make mistakes and you get away with it. Tonight it seemed every time they made a mistake, it ended up in the back of their net, unfortunately.
UCA Hokus, when you were talking to him during our post-game show here for USAVE Flooring, talked about the first period, much like we talked about, thought it was one of the best first periods we've seen from this team in quite some time. So, if you want to look at this as a slightly larger sample size and talk about how the team played better last weekend through the Eastern Swing, Kingston and Ottawa, but didn't get results. They hang on in a close game versus Guelph on Tuesday night here at home. You're starting to see those signs where I'm guessing as a coaching staff you can point to and say, here's what we're capable of. We did it for a full period. Now let's do it for three full periods. Things like that.
No, you're right, Mike. And like we're scoring goals again, which had been a bit of a struggle. But you know, we're getting the bodies back that are healthy. And you know, you look at Cameron Reed tonight. He comes in. He hasn't played in 11 games. 2 assists. He has great opportunities to end the game himself, and then sets up Sop for the game winner. But it's also the things that he does defensively, that he's so smart with the puck. He gets it out of trouble. That's a huge, huge addition to this club. You know, and there's a reason they were losing games. When you take that kid out of the lineup, it makes a big deal. And what words for the coach to say he's a future captain in this league. To say that after, you know, 30 whatever games he's played so far this year, that's pretty impressive. So he makes a big, big difference for this club.
It's interesting that the coach would say something like that. Not that I disagree one iota, but it's interesting that the coach would talk about a future captain when he doesn't have a current one.
and at game 50, we're going into game 55 on Sunday. I don't think one's going to be named at this point of the year. We're going to get through the year with the way it's been, and for whatever reasons, they know they have their reason for it, their rationale behind it, and can't argue with it, I guess, because it's been a pretty good season to date.
You talk about the Rangers scoring goals again, 4 on Tuesday, 6 here tonight. You want to talk about scoring goals. The Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds hung an 8 spot. They put up a snowman on the London Knights in an 8-2 win. 2 shorthanded goals 17 seconds apart. Not only does it end the Knights' run of 23 games without a regulation loss, but the Greyhounds go into London and do it on Hall of Fame night in London.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about the Hall of Fame night. That's I'm sure your heart isn't bleeding on that one, though. But
well, I got a lot of time for Jim McKellar, who was being inducted tonight. So
yeah, we had a little chat with him the other day when he was in here scouting. He scouts for Chicago. It was bound to happen, right?
Like, sure,
like
of course.
You go with that number of games. And again, Sault Ste. Marie had that little bit of extra motivation after what transpired previously up against London up in the Sioux.
And the Sioux is certainly a team to be reckoned with in this Western Conference. They pick up the victory tonight. Sudbury comes from behind to knock off the Saginaw Spirit, and all of a sudden, the Sioux climb within 4 points of their division rivals, Saginaw. Let's go back to the phones. Cody, you're next on Rangers Talk.
Hey, Faro. Hey, Fisher. What's up, guys?
We're good, Cody.
Oh, man. Oh, what can I say? Matthew Sopp, like Evan said, the steelheads got sopped tonight by Matthew Sopp.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say this before you guys say it. I want to say Matthew Sopp should be called the overtime merchant tonight.
The overtime merchant. Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah. But I gotta say, tonight's win was impressive. I was a little shaky when the Steelheads started to come back in that second period. But I kept my cool down, and thank God the Rangers win.
I'm glad you were able to keep your cool, because there's reason to get nervous when stuff like that starts happening, right?
Oh yeah, nerve wracking. Well, I just want to say, good job on the Rangers win tonight, and I'll see you guys on Sunday.
Thanks, Cody. Appreciate the call. And, Paul, Cody talks about something else that we've identified. You know, it was despite holding 2-3-goal leads, the Rangers have to win it in overtime. But those are certainly the sorts of things you want to see them put a team away when they have that big a lead.
Yeah, that's ideally what you want, Mike. And I thought Jackson Parsons was pretty good again tonight. And you know, we gave up 5 goals, but you can't really fault him. He held his ground, and sometimes it just doesn't go the way. When you're up 4-1, you're thinking, okay, we're going to get through this one and coast in. It just doesn't happen that way. In the end, it's about the W, and they got the W, and they can break down the tape and look at the things that happened that allowed Mississauga to get back in the game. I think the coach made a good point, too, when he said about the differential and the penalties, and he talked to me about some of them. I know the Cameron Reed one for sure that was missed. There were other ones, too, and I think that's a legit point. And let's not forget, too, Mike, the breakaway save that on Sopp that would have made the game a 2-goal game again, and who knows how. There's just swings within a game that can change the outcome.
I'm sorry for being so rude, but when Cody and Evan were talking about getting sopped, it's just in my mind, Paul, I said it as the game ended, sop again. And in my mind, I'm just thinking, isn't this almost what happens every time the Rangers win in overtime? The Kitchener Rangers have won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This was their 6th overtime win. 5th winner for Matt Sopp. In overtime. Not just game winner, but 5 of the 6 overtime wins have been scored by Matt Sopp. The other one was Carson Rakoff.
Well,
how do you like that?
He's one of the guys that we know is going to be on the ice. No question about it. He's going to get 100 points. He's an offensive player. And, you know, maybe the thinking, Mike, when you have the 1 point in the bank, well, let's go get the 2nd point. And he's a high-end offensive player who also defends well. He kills penalties. So he makes good angles. He takes good angles to retrieve pucks and get pucks back. So when you're on the ice that much, you're going to get opportunities to score. And this guy is a goal scorer and a playmaker, and he's a high-end offensive player.
Now at 8 game-winning goals on the season, and that leads the Ontario Hockey League. Let's go next to Andre. Andre, you're on Rangers Talk.
Awesome. Hi, Mike. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Andre.
Hi, Andre.
Awesome game. Very enjoyable. And what is there not to say? I think they were watching Philip Machar a little bit too much. He was a little quiet. But besides that, the team was a team. I really loved it. I wasn't stressed over it. I was kind of a little, nervous in overtime. But like you said about Sopp, it's just amazing feeling when a one man could do that. Like Austin Matthew last time, carry up the team, right? It takes a big man to do that. But just to go back a little bit in the past, when I think Kitchener lost the first game, Bowman, the captain Bowman, who is he for, Mike?
Guelph.
Okay, so I think the first game we lost to Guelph because of Bowman did a hat trick. Same thing tonight. This COVID guy, I think, captain, what's his name?
Sharp.
Yeah, he did a hat trick tonight. But they changed goalies.
No, it was...
What?
Listen... Andre, I appreciate the call. We gotta hustle along here. I'm sorry. And I'll be the first to admit that sometimes I'm a little bit too energetic, probably on Matt Sopp's goal tonight. Andre sounds like he slept through the game tonight. I love you, brother. No offense. But it was Angus McDonnell, not the Steelheads captain, with the hat trick tonight. And I'm just looking back on the loss. Brayden Bowman, I'll give you credit for that one, did have a hat trick in Guelph's 8-6 win over Kitchener, the second time those teams met this season. So excellent memory by you, Andre, but I just was starting to lose you a little bit, and I think you were drifting off on us.
Fair comment, Mike. I thought Sharp was sharp tonight.
Yeah.
he played, and he's their captain. I kind of lost a little bit there too, but he was a good player. That's a good team. Like we talked, that's a really good team. I think they're going to be disappointed that they only got 1 point tonight. But that's a good hockey club with good goaltending, and they can be reckoned with in the East, I do believe.
and the goaltending change in the second period to Jack Ivankovic sparked this Steelheads team.
Oh, he was so solid in there, and I give him credit. You know, it's funny. He takes the loss tonight in this game. He comes in. The game gets back to even. So, oh my God.
Yeah, 26 Lienders, shots against.
Lienders, he gets the stats, the goals and the shots against. It affects his average and his save percentage. But he takes the loss for being in the net when the game is lost. It's funny how this game works, eh? Like, stats are crazy at times.
Two goals against on 26 shots for Jack Ivankovic, and he's a hard luck loser on this night. As the Rangers win it 6-5 in overtime, we take a break, come back with more Rangers talk for You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
It's time to speak your mind. Have your say on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Call now, 519-570-2545. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Matt Sopp's league-leading eighth game winner of the season. Kitchener wins it in overtime, their sixth overtime win of the season, and Matt Sopp has five of those six OT winners. That's a heck of a stat line for the Rangers overager and Kitchener native. Sopp now with 33 on the season, the Rangers six, the Mississauga Steelheads five. Let's get right back to the phones. Josh, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hey guys, long-time listener, first-time caller. I just wanted to give out two quick bouquets of flowers. The first one to the Mississauga Steelheads. I thought they played a terrific road game today, and it's very easy to mentally board the bus when you're down 4-1 as early as they were, so credit where it's due there. And then the other bouquet is to Jackson Parsons. I think that he... I have the ability to stand behind him two out of the three periods every night, and I just feel like the way he battles through traffic, and you know, it's really easy to look at the goals he allowed tonight, or you know, like five goals, and kind of write that off. But honestly, I thought he played a heck of a game, and he's a great calming presence in that net, and I love him.
Are you sure you don't have a third bouquet for Matt Sopp, out of curiosity?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I just feel like it's very easy to forget about Parsons, especially on a night like this. I felt like he kind of got a raw deal a bit from the team on a couple of defensive breakdowns, but I thought he played a terrific night.
You know, Josh, for a first-time caller, you're bringing some pretty good fire tonight. Maybe you should do this again sometime.
Absolutely, will do.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Josh. It's really nice that he recognizes pretty good effort by Mississauga. But I just want to touch on the five goals against with Parsons. And, you know, Grant Fuhr is in the Hall of Fame. And in his Hall of Fame speech, he said, all I had to do was make sure I stopped one more than the guy at the other end of the ice. And that's exactly what Jackson Parsons did tonight. He stopped one more. Or he let in one less than the guy at the other end of the ice, and some nights you give up five, but you still win, and tonight that's the case, and it certainly wasn't at fault for the five goals against. Good observation by Josh.
I thought the observation, too, was also excellent when Josh talked about what a calming presence Jackson Parsons is, and you and I have talked about this during broadcasts throughout the season, Paul, where Parsons is that guy that has the presence of mind to get a face-off when the team needs it, to slow the pace down, to do those little things that goaltenders can do to be that calming presence.
John Gibson used to be really good at that. We call it game management, recognizing when, you know, I need to deflect a puck out of play because we don't have the matchup we want and things like that. And I thought John Gibson was great at that. Jackson Parsons is every bit as good as John Gibson was at managing the game.
Well done by you, Josh. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I love calls that start like that. Let's go to another long-time listener, long-time caller. Robbie, you're on Rangers Talk. Robbie, you're killing me. I set you up like that, and this is what I get.
Sounds like you just fell out of a boat.
Oh, dear. Okay. Sorry, Robbie. You're off, and we're going to go to Bill. Honestly, Fixie, what happened to me tonight? I try to do good things. I'm a nice guy, you know. I help old ladies cross the street, you know. I rescue cats from burning buildings. This is what I get on the post.
Canoeing and trying to call in.
All right, Bill, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Just fine,
anyway,
thank you. How's it going?
A couple things. I just don't understand this team that can't hold a lead. You know, I hope they fix that before the playoffs. And the other couple things is that Shelley, I just don't see where he's a 20 overall pick. Like, he seems to me he's really lazy. Somebody needs to light a fire under him. Like, he gives up too quick. Like, you know, if he loses the puck, then he just kind of floats away. Like, he's not a real, I don't know, he doesn't give a lot of effort from what I'm seeing, but maybe I'm wrong. And the other thing is, why is Raycroft still playing center? Like, what is he, 38%? Like, I just don't see him why he's playing center.
He played the wing tonight.
Well, he did have a couple face-offs tonight. But I don't get that. And, yeah, and the other thing is, I'm just hoping they can make Guelph in the playoffs. That would be awesome.
All right, Bill. I appreciate the call. I love how it starts with "How are you?" and then he doesn't care because he just wants to keep talking. A couple of things turns into four, but hey, observations all around. I'll just say this on the first point about what's the matter with the team that can't hold a lead. They better get that fixed by the playoffs. I'll just say they did win tonight. I know you didn't do it the way you might have wanted to, but let's talk a little bit about Edward Chalet, Paul. Lots of people have been asking questions. Look, this is, I'm going to say from experience, something that I have seen frequently in this league, and that is a European player in their first year in North America playing this schedule on this ice surface about a million miles, okay, maybe I'm exaggerating, but many, many miles away from home. It is a hell of an adjustment. The Seattle Kraken saw enough to make him a first-round pick to the National Hockey League. They have better eyes and more eyes on him than I've ever had, but I understand where you hear first-round NHL pick, why isn't he lighting it up every night? It's not as easy, I don't think, as we sometimes think it is.
No, and I think the pressure that he's feeling as a first-round pick and somebody that was traded here at the deadline to help put this club over the top, that's a lot of pressure on a young player. I will give Bill credit in that I think his compete level could be higher, and I'm sure that's something that the coaching staff is working on him with, and Bill's not wrong. His compete level certainly needs to be better if he plans on making hockey his lifelong career and making money at it. But even at this level, I would like to see him compete a little bit harder. But there's a transition. He's with new teammates and new systems and all those sorts of things. I'm not making excuses. It's just, it's difficult. And you've used the example of Philip Mouchard last year, struggled a little bit at times. And he factors into all those things. European kid that comes over here at a young age, all those things you just said. That's the same with Edward Chalet. And first rounders, I'll say this about first rounders. You don't give up on first rounders that quickly. There's something there, and we just haven't seen all of it yet.
As for Bill's wish to see Guelph in the first round of the playoffs, I will use one of Don Cameron's least favorite phrases. If the playoffs were to start today, that would be the matchup. I will honestly say I don't see much chance of it being anything other than Owen Sound or Guelph that the Rangers face first.
Yeah, no, that's what it's going to be. And strictly from a rivalry standpoint, it would be fun to play Guelph. And from a travel standpoint, Mike, it's fantastic.
Absolutely.
You know, it's close.
We could walk.
Both buildings. By that time of year, I could ride my bike over there.
There you go.
Meet you there at game time. Both buildings will be full. We know that, which just adds to the excitement. We have a great vantage point over in Guelph to call a game from, which is nice. We've got a great... everything about it is good. Now, that being said, you know, we could still move even higher if we could move up in the standings. If you know,
yeah, but to me it looks like 5-6 is going to be one of either Guelph or Owen Sound, and even if the Rangers move up to 3, they'll get the 6 seed then.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Either way, that's what it looks like. Bill, you are like, well, you've got a, I'd say at this point, a 50-50 shot,
yep,
of getting your wish there. All right, let's go back to the phones. Tim, you're on Rangers Talk on City News 570.
Hey there, Mr. Farwell, how are you?
Excellent, thank you. But please call me Farwell or Mike. No, Mister.
Sorry, Mike. Listen, I just wanted to let you know I'm not really into the technical talk about hockey, but I will tell you, it was just an incredible game. I appreciate what you guys do. My family and I moved to Dundas back in December, so I kind of miss our town. I've been able to get back for several games since then. And there's just nothing like coming back to KW and just really great hockey. I love what it does for the fans sitting around me in the odd. It's great to see a great huge crowd there and hear the noise. And, I'm just a proud Kitchener Rangers fan and just wanted to let the world know. So thanks for all you're doing, and appreciate you guys entertaining me on my drive back to Dundas this evening.
We are happy to do that, Tim. Thank you very much for that great call and those kind words. Paul, we actually touched on this earlier. I think it was right back in our Harris Law pregame show talking about Fridays being hockey days in Kitchener. We both grew up in this town. We know what Friday nights mean in this building. It sounds like Tim feels that. And I will just say that getting to come here and do this job for as long as I have been, following my life of watching games in this building, is one of the greatest thrills, honestly, every single night for me.
It's a special building. It's a special place. I think when I did that interview with Simon Motu after the Erie game, he touched on how special it is to be a Kitchener Ranger. And Tim just, you know, alluded to it as well. To be a fan of this is great. And, you know, really, what the fans expect. Hey, we all want to win championships, for sure. But they expect to be entertained with an honest effort. And tonight, although it was a close game, they were entertained with a pretty good effort. And that's what the fans are looking for.
Can I be brutally honest here, though, for a minute?
Championship?
It's time.
Oh, yeah.
Paul,
yeah. No,
2003.
I know. It's tough to win, Mike.
It is.
There's, you know, there's 20 teams in this league, and 16, 15 are legit, like right in that conversation. It's tough to win.
I know. One of those teams that's not legit, London. I mean, they never win anything. So, Tim, I hope it's a safe drive back to Dundas tonight. Really appreciate the call and your ears on as you make that drive. Okay, I think Rob has made his way across the Grand River in his canoe. He's paddled safely to the other side. Robbie, you're on Rangers Talk.
Gentlemen, good evening.
It's about time, my friend. Good evening.
Oh, I have to cut you off, buddy. The wife wanted Baskin-Robbins, and she comes first, I'm afraid.
I don't blame you one bit. I want Baskin-Robbins. Come on now.
Hey, they got a deal on. The deal on. Second point, only $6. Anyway, hockey. Great game. Enjoyable. Loved it. We did a lot of things tonight that we haven't done for a few weeks, maybe since Christmas. I could touch on lots of things, but I'm not gonna. It was a pleasure to watch tonight. We gave away a couple of daft goals, but so did they. They played well. We played well. The refs weren't bad. They weren't good, but they weren't bad. It was kind of a lift. The last game we won was great. This game, I think, is instilled a little bit more faith back with the faithful, and just a good all-round night. And I'm going to take the wife for ice cream, and you guys have a good evening.
Thanks, Robbie. Appreciate that. I'm going for my second pint for $6 tomorrow.
You should have went for your free chicken sandwich.
That too. Rangers scored 5+1 tonight in a 6-5 overtime victory.
Chicken sandwich and then ice cream.
I think Robbie touches what the way he describes that, you know, some daft goals here. Officiating wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. All these different. That's a night at a junior hockey game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, these players are young. They make mistakes.
Exactly.
And when mistakes are made, scoring chances result. That is a very good junior hockey game right there to watch, to be entertained. And Rob's right in a lot of ways. And, you know, I forget who said it was. It might have been Tim, or that we have to find a way to defend Leeds better. And that's true. But
I think that was Bill that was worried about it, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a legit concern.
Sure.
You know, no question, especially as you get into the playoffs. But they'll work at that, and we still have a few games to go.
We do, but not many. We're down to 14 now, Fitzy.
I know.
Holy Hannah, yeah. We're flying through the season. The Rangers win it tonight, 6-5 in overtime. Matt Sopp, his fifth OT winner of the season. Are you kidding me? Rangers have back-to-back wins for the first time in a month. We'll take a quick break, come back with more Rangers talk for USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
Got something to say about your East Avenue Blue? Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570, Rangers talk, brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Back-to-back home wins for the Kitchener Rangers after back-to-back road losses. Matt Sopp, the OT hero tonight. Rangers 6, Mississauga 5 in overtime. That was happening here at the Memorial Auditorium, about 20 kilometers away down Highway 7 in Guelph. The Storm put up a good fight but fell 4-2 to the Erie Otters. And I know my little buddy Mark Perry, good old Timmins boy. I'll tell you right now, good boy is Mark Perry, joins us on Rangers Talk. Hey, Perry, what's going on, buddy?
You know, I can't complain. The Guelph Storm not exactly putting up the greatest of efforts, I will say, despite the scoreline. I felt like their transition game was a little bit slow. They had a little bit of bus legs coming off of that win in Peterborough last night. But it sounds like you had an interesting one yourself. Sounded very similar to what Mississauga had in their previous game last Sunday against the Sudbury Wolves, who, of course, you'll be seeing in about 48 hours from now.
And you see quite a bit of Sudbury, don't you, Mark?
Yes, I do. Do some stuff for the radio side for the Sudbury Wolves. And, you know, I think back to that Sunday game, and again, you look back and it's, the key number here is 60, putting up a 60-minute effort and not giving up or giving an inch. And I think about what Mississauga did on Sunday, losing 8-7 in overtime to the Wolves in that game, but they were down 4-0 in that game in the first period against the Wolves, and then they come right back. I mean, just a team that responds well and really just knows how to respond to adversity and just knows how to put the puck in the net. They had their goaltender chased in that one as well. So it sounds like, you know, a high score line there, not just about their goaltending in Ryerson Leanders and Jack Ivan Kovic. They have a lot of sharpshooters on their team, and I'm sure you saw them tonight in guys like Angus McDonnell. Dean Lucas has been impressive as of late as well for the Mississauga Steelheads. And, I mean, you can just go down the list of, you know, players that they have and the threats that they're going to be even going as soon as next season. But, you know, they're a tough team, and that's going to be very interesting to see what they do down the stretch. And, you know, if they can go in a shootout against the Sudbury Wolves, you know, the top team in the East, a loaded Eastern Conference at that, you know, it's going to be anybody's game in the Eastern Conference, and there's going to be a healthy dose of Eastern Conference opponents coming up. Especially for the Kitchener Rangers, obviously facing Sudbury on Sunday.
Mark, it's always good to hear from you, buddy. Thanks for making a call to the show.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
You know, Fixie, Mark gets me thinking, first of all, about the Sudbury Wolves, and they come from behind to beat Saginaw tonight. I like to think that West is best. I still believe overall it is, but that I might call a bit of a statement win for the Wolves. David Goyette continues to lead this league in scoring. Kieran Walton picked up his second career hat trick tonight, and don't look now, but the Wolves have points in 10 of their last 11 games, 9 of them regulation wins.
Yeah, the coaches that I talked to on the Eastern side, you know, Dave Cameron and Mann in Kingston and even James Richmond, all these guys, they all say Sudbury's kind of the standard that they're looking, that they have to be at that standard to be Sudbury. I still think, Mike, when you get into these run and gun games, you can't win in the playoffs that way. I mean, we talk about defense all the time. You know, maybe I'm wrong, but we'll see. I mean, they looked impressive when we were up there, no question. And they're physical. Like, they're going to come out with a physical presence for sure. And obviously they can score. They've got the leading scorer in the league in Goyette, and they're very strong in that regard. I don't know if you can give up that number of goals and win a championship.
Well, and speaking of that, isn't it a little bit surprising that, and we talked about it during the broadcast tonight, the bounty that Mississauga has in goal between both Ivan Kovic and Leanders, and yet an 8-7 loss up in Sudbury, and a 6-5 loss here tonight. So count them, 14 goals against in two games for this tandem. Not what you would have expected.
No, I thought there were some goals that went in that you look back at, and how did that go in? And, you know, I guess that goes to show you, throw pucks, get bodies at the net and throw pucks at the net. It's a pretty simple formula. But I think there's some that they would have liked to add back for sure. But that being said, Ivan Kovic made some tremendous saves. Lienders had a tough night. Lienders, his game wasn't on tonight for sure. But Ivan Kovic made some great saves.
Oh, he was terrific.
Yeah, I mean, I just keep going back to that save that he made on Sopp shorthanded. And the Cameron Reed save in overtime was a tremendous save as well.
And then let's just go back to something that Josh said when he talked about Jackson Parsons, calming influence, etc. Parsons made a monster save in overtime to allow Matt Sopp to find his hero's helmet.
He certainly did. He's been good. And Mike, he's played in a lot of games here. I'd have to look about the last 10 games he's played. The Erie game, he went in relief of Malbuff, but they've started to roll with Parsons and establish him as, hey, this is going to be our guy as we head into the playoffs. I would expect to see him back in there against Sudbury and then maybe Malbuff in Peterborough.
Yeah, you go back, it was the January 30th game at home to London that Parsons started, and you can basically count this as seven in a row. Malbuff started that game in Erie, but he didn't last long.
Yeah.
Parsons was in for 50 minutes or so that
night. So eight
night.
Games. So, yeah.
Yep, for sure. All right, let's stay with the Lions and go to Steven next on Rangers Talk. Hi, Steven. You're on City News 570.
Well, my friends. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Yeah, I mean, that first period, wow. I mean, skates on fire, buzzing around the net, 2-0 lead. I mean, I think everybody's wondering, can you not do that for 60 minutes? But anyhow, second period, yeah, built up, got a gift goal, built up the lead, and then, you know, having trouble to just get that killer instinct and moving forward.
Yeah, the only thing I can think in this situation, Paul, is that, because it was a very good first period. You want to put that in a bottle and sell it, and then they get the goal early in the second on that fluke, and maybe you just, look, you're a young man, you're a young hockey player. James Richmond talked to you before the game about players reaching a certain point in the season where they're just not as motivated. I'm not saying the Rangers weren't motivated because we're coming up on that playoff time, but maybe they just thought it just slips into their head, we got this, it's going to be easy, we're up 3-0, and then boom.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy things that go through your mind, I suppose. But and they were feeling good about themselves, and so they should.
Sure.
You know, they were in complete control of the game. That first period was as good a period we've seen in, I don't know, 15 games, 10, 12 games, whatever it is. And but I give Mississauga a bit of credit, too. They, like as Perry just said, you know, they were down 4-0. And fought back.
Yep.
So this is a team that doesn't have quit in them. They battle, and tonight, as much as, you know, we should have that killer instinct, we need to play for 60 minutes, well, Mississauga is part of that equation, too, and I give them some credit for battling and, you know, in the end, getting a point.
I think they deserved it, too, yeah, for their effort, for sure. What else did you see tonight, Steven?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, but, you know, again, yes, down 4-1 is tied up, but, you know, again, they found a way to battle beyond that. And that's kind of like a learning curve. I mean, yes, we had a great first part of the season. We were top of the league the whole bit. But as they're progressing along, and hope, you know, they're learning more, learning games. And I'd rather build up and be stronger towards the playoffs than, you know, I mean, have we seen in the past? Yeah, you're top of the league. You're feeling good on yourself. Get towards the postseason, and guess what happens? You're out the first round. So anyway, you know, so that's fine. Anyway, guys, take care. Have a good night, and talk to you soon.
Thanks, Stephen. Windsor was top of the league last year, and the Rangers, as an 8 seed, knocked off the Spitfires in 4 straight games, making history. I'll go back to something I said on Tuesday, I guess it was, Paul, when, you know, Stephen's talking about how good you're feeling, coming playoffs time, et cetera. I think it's really important. I asked UC Ahokas about it earlier today, to not just be winning, but be on a bit of a run now for this hockey club. 14 games to go. So they've won games 16 and 15 remaining in the season with back-to-back wins. You know, over the next 14, can you win 9 more and make it 11 and 5 down the stretch?
I think that'd be a great stretch going into the playoffs, feeling that, you know, you feel good about yourselves. And I think when we were at 15 games, you said, can we win 10? And I said, yeah. Like, that's a fair number. And I know they do segment breakdowns with this club, like so many games. And so they would have their goals set within that. And I'm sure they have, well, they're on pace now, winning 2 in a row. So whatever that number is, I think you're close, Mike, with saying 9-10 games. Wins.
Rangers win it 6-5 in overtime over Mississauga tonight. We'll take a final break. Back with more on Rangers Talk, brought to you by USave Flooring. This is City News 570.
We want to hear from all the armchair coaches. Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570, Rangers Talk, brought to you by USave Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Rangers win it 6-5 in overtime tonight. Matt Sopp's 5th OT winner and 8th game winner of the season. Time the enemy, but let's get right back to the phones. Jeffrey, you're on Rangers Talk on City News 570.
Yes, guys. I'll try and keep it real short and sweet. You're on your final break, so I won't ramble on too long. But I wanted to give a quick shout-out to a lady, Nikki Tremblay, who runs the rental suites and whatnot at the Odd. Sometimes it's like pulling teeth to get a response from some of those crews there, and God love them, but she's full of energy. Really good, Nikki Tremblay. Mark Perry as well, too. Really good. You've got a passion for the OHL. You got not one job, but two jobs with two different teams. You got to love that. Anyway, if Buddy there that called in earlier wants to look at Edward Chalet and he wants to see what he's all about or what he could be, just take a look at the shot there. He fired 4:58 in the first period. The lethal shot, that's why Seattle drafted him. As soon as he lets that rip a little bit more and rifles it like Rakoff, I think Chalet's got a better shot than Rakoff once it's all said and
done. I don't know about that.
Anyway, moving on. Tim Hornsby, he brought up in the second period, or the first there, about the goal, Curtis Joseph. I remember that vividly. Curtis Joseph, that was the beginning of the end in Toronto for him with Pat Quinn. Because Quinn didn't give him a second start. He gave the rest of the starts to Brodeur. I remember my old man saying, no, Jeffrey, Joseph's not going to get another start this Olympics. And I said, why? He's like, no, Brodeur's the hot hand. He's not going to screw with that. So, anyway, moving on. Warnsby, great. I think that's going to be a good book. I'm going to pick that up. And lastly, really quickly, Trent Swick. You guys have mentioned a couple times about Luke Elmanis getting draft attention. I think now that Trent Swick has gotten his physicality presence woken up to people. He's 6'6", guys. 205, 55 points, and a plus 28 this year. Man, are some teams are going to come knocking on him. And the last thing, like the NHL teams are going to come knocking on the door. And the last thing I got, guys, the last time I called in about Brustavich, he's a good player. He is. But I got blitzed a little bit, like, on him. He's a good player. I get it. But I think Kitchener is probably not going to do it, but the Calgary Wranglers, that AHL affiliate that Calgary's got, I think Brustavich is going to turn into a forward. I really do. I think he's going to end up as an NHL forward if he's going to have any success in the league. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Jeffrey. Interesting theory on Brustavich. Great idea to pick up the book, Gold, by Tim Hornsby, the first gold for Canada at the Olympics in 50 years that came in Salt Lake City in 2002. Swick is an interesting talking point, Paul.
Well, it certainly is, and he is on the radar of NHL teams. You and I are in the media room every night, and I've got teams asking me about him and stuff. If he keeps up that physical presence, he will get drafted. That's an important part of the game. His offensive numbers, he's not going to be a high-end offensive guy at the next level, I don't believe. But he can bring that element to the game, and teams are still looking for that.
All right. We're going to squeeze in one more. Eddie, I swear I got like 45 seconds, not even, but I want to give you your chance and buy a new watch so you can call earlier, please.
I didn't have an opportunity to call earlier, man.
Yeah,
no,
you're so busy, I know.
You know what? Could have. At the end of the day, it's 2 points. I'll take it. Not. They didn't do it the easy way, but I just want to circle back to something that I mentioned to you earlier in the game. But you know, on Tuesday I mentioned that, you know, a good team doesn't have to win 8 games in a row, and I'm going to say I still stand by it, because think about it. Remember last year, all you got to do is win 4 out of 7. And I don't think 4 out of 7 necessarily makes you a good team. I think a 6-2 stretch is a better way to put it. But I just want to circle back to that. Yeah, that's pretty much it. There's
all right.
25 seconds.
Thanks, Eddie. Well done, young man. Eddie was giving me a hard time, and rightly so, tonight, because I did blast him a little bit on Tuesday, saying, no, this team really does need to win 8 in a row. And that might have been exaggerated, but the point was, get on a run. But Eddie reminded me that last year I said, all you need to do is keep winning 4 out of every 7, because that's a playoff victory. I might have been carrying a little water for a struggling team last year when I said that.
Yeah, no, your point, you don't have to take it literally 8 in a row. Your point is, you need to start winning more than you're losing, and feel good about yourselves. And well, they have a reason. They have 2 reasons to do that now. They just won against Guelph, and they just won again tonight.
Big one coming up on Sunday.
Huge, huge. It's going to be interesting to see, Mike, because everybody puts Sudbury the top of the East, and well, they are the top of the East. Let's see if we can knock them off.
They just knocked off Saginaw, the Memorial Cup hosts tonight. So we're going to have ourselves a doozy on Sunday afternoon. Thanks for being with us tonight, right through Rangers Talk. We appreciate it. On behalf of my broadcast partner, Paul Fixter, our producer, Adam Sanderson, my name is Mike Farwell. The Rangers win it on an overtime goal by Matt Sopp, 6-5 over Mississauga. And I bid you a very good Friday night from the Memorial Auditorium.
This has been another edition of City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Your home for the Kitchener Rangers. City News 570.